the Electric Eels of Parramatta.
Oh, the dummy by Kenny. He's going to go up the corner. Look at Ferguson coming across the gutter. And it's Kenny with a flicking bounce. Scores a try in the corner. Sterling looking for a hat-trick. Can he get there? It's a hat-trick for Sterling.
The Eels have won it. Mr. Perpetual Motion and Mr. Nice Guy, Michael Cronin, are held aloft. The siren has sounded and Parramatta has taken out their third premiership in a row. The Eels of Parramatta still rule supreme over the rugby league scene here in Sydney.
Welcome to the third edition of the Parramatta's podcast. I am Barry, joined always by my co-host, Bernie. How are you, my friend?
Good, buddy. Have you had a good week?
I have, mate. I believe the last time I spoke to you, we were going through the 2022 Parramatta Eels team. Yep. And we started alphabetically. We started at Jake Arthur and we got up to Gutho. Mm. Now, you have started the Parramatta's podcast Facebook page. Yes. And on there, we had some feedback on our last episode because you raised the question around Nathan Brown and there was a little bit of, you know, he sort of fell away a little bit towards the end of the season and you were unsure as to why. So someone enlightened us online. What happened there?
Well, I was, in all honesty, I was worried he had pulled a heart muscle. I thought there was nothing physically wrong with him. It was a long season for him. There was a lot of ups and downs. I know that he had some injuries throughout the season, but old mate Jono did chime in and let us know that Nathan was in fact injured at the end of the year.
He had an ankle injury and he was essentially trying to conceal it. So he would come onto the field and he'd do what he could, but then he'd be pulled off. So that was reassuring to both of us because we were a little bit unsure as to why the second half of his season tailed off. I mean, he was still, you know, 25th on most tackles. So he obviously is such a powerhouse and a workhorse. But hopefully he's had time to rest over the holidays and that injury goes away and we look forward to a bigger 2022 for Nathan Brown.
I was happy to hear it, actually. I was happy to hear that there was a reason behind it because he really is the engine heart. He's the heart of the forwards, I believe. Like, Junior's got the brute power, but if Nathan Brown turns up to play, if he turns up with a head full of steam, all the other forwards follow him.
Mm.
He has that control over the pack. He is the alpha dog. So I was a bit worried that he had pulled a heart muscle at the end of the season. Like, it seemed a bit, it was very out of character for him to look like he wasn't giving 100%. So if he had a bung ankle, then that explains a bit.
That's very reassuring to actually hear that. And I know for him, it obviously was quite inconvenient and I'm sure it annoyed him. However, from a fan's perspective, it's good to know that there was a genuine thing.
That just turned up out of nowhere. It was always just a sprained ankle when you were young. Like, so I sprained my ankle. All right, we'll get back out there and keep running. Like, you know, or it needs some ice. You get an hour, like, you know.
All right, so where we left it off last week was with King Gutho, which means we're into the G's, and Waimu Greg is our first up today, mate. Tell me all about the Majestic Mullet.
He is the Majestic Mullet. I like that name for him. He's a beast. He is a young, powerful, aggressive forward, and I like him a lot. I think we nicked him off the Cowboys, and he played a few games for us last year. Very impressive, I thought, until he got injured. And he was up there swinging. He had a great 2021, I thought, like, even though he didn't get many games, he just seemed to... He was injured towards the end of the year, but when he was on there, he definitely made his presence felt.
Mm, he certainly made an impact, and not just with the haircut, because I am firmly of the belief that every team needs a mullet.
Yes.
Whether it's Kickout or Ryan Pappenhausen, one of the things that's been lacking in our lineup has been a mullet, and our prayers have been answered.
Yeah, well, Josh Papali, I think, is probably the most infamous mullet at the moment. Fully agree. We need the mullet, and he is the man to take on the role of being Parramatta's mullet. It's a good one. Mm-hmm. It is a good one. He's got the sideburns gone. I think to have the mullet, it's got to stand out. So you've got to have the sideburns have got to be shaven.
Mm.
And from all the preseason photos that I've seen so far, he's looking strong. He's looking big, fit, strong. And mullety. So a big 2022 for the Parramatta mullet.
Well, the Premier's a Penrith mate, so we certainly need a mullet to go up against their mullets.
Have we got the mullet power? I don't know. Are any of the boys growing one? You can't just beat them with one mullet, but you got to have a magnificent mullet, and we've got that with Wiramu, I think.
Okay. All right, young David Hollis from Wauchope, mate. Tell us all about him.
He was in the Australian schoolboys. He's a big unit, 196 centimetres. And growing into his body, I mean, it's hard with the young forwards. You've got to give him time. I think he's about 19 years of age. You know, he hasn't quite got his man strength yet, but he's in the top 30. So obviously he's going to get a run. I don't know that much about him. I've seen him playing New South Wales Cup, and he looks good, but a lot of the boys look good in New South Wales Cup. So, You know, interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what he can do.
Oregon Kafusi, mate, a Parramatta junior.
He is, and which makes him signing to leave even more sad, because he is a junior of ours, and we built him, and he's a strong, strong runner of the ball, very good defensively, and very sad to be seeing him go. We've got him for this year. I don't think he's going to be... You know, of all the players that have signed contracts to leave us at the end of this year, I don't think a single one of them is the sort to just go, well, I'm just going to sit it out this year and not give 100%. Mm. I think all of them, real competitive guys, and that's why they got the big contracts in the first place. I'm expecting a big year from all of them. So I think they're going to be fighting it out to get on that bench. Kafusi's had a spot pretty much all through 21 when he was fit and healthy. There was a couple of games then there that he got bumped off the reserves bench, but looking for a big one from him, 22.
Mm. He went to Hills Sports High, which was formerly known as Grantham High School in Seven Hills, where I hail from, and Sturlo had his sports store there years ago. But yeah, so he's obviously spent a bit of time in Sevo, up Sevo.
Yes, that's where he gets his superhuman strength from. He's a Sevo boy.
That's right. Sean Lane, mate.
Geez, I don't know with this guy. I really like him. Like, he's one of those guys, you just want him to do well. He's a big lump of a lad, massive unit. And I don't know, he didn't have a good 21, I don't think. He had a very good 20. He started to form a really good relationship, I thought, with Dillbags. And I think maybe switching him on the other side of the field wasn't a good idea for, you know, he started to get a good connection going with Dylan Brown, and Dylan switched to the other side of the field. So there goes that. I don't know. He just seems to mosey on into a game. You know, he doesn't. You feel like you want to slap him. You want to get him aggressive. You want to like tell him someone's stolen your lunch or something. And you know, and fire him up. I think if BA could fire him up, he'd be an unstoppable force. But he just seems to be, you know, nonchalant about his football. I'm sure he isn't, but when you watch him, and when he drops a ball and he gets up and he doesn't seem to be too concerned about it, and you're screaming at the TV. But he's a massive unit, and he's got a good offload. He's not an 80-minute player, and I think that is to his detriment. I think BA leaves him on too long, and then the halves run over him, run around him towards the end of a game, make him look foolish and like a slug. So maybe I'm being too harsh on him. I don't know. Maybe he's just a 40-minute player. So be interesting to see how he's used this year.
Mm. I mean, the potential's there. In 2019, he won the Jack Gibson NRL Coaches Award, so he's obviously got that potential, but as you say, maybe he needs to find his why. 100%. Why is he out there? What is the thing that drives him?
100%. Fully agree. He came from Manly, so we can't expect too much from him, I guess. So
maybe that's it. He's upset that he's had to travel.
Well, Gutho did too, so I suppose I can't really use that as a benchmark, can I? So, let's see what he can do. Fingers crossed.
The Parramatta's podcast. Because Parramatta fans matter.
Reed Marnie, mate, our last year with him.
Very disappointing. Very disappointing that we couldn't hold on to him. He's got a big future ahead of himself, big representative future. He will be the Queensland hooker, I believe. It's, you know, as long as Harry Grant's just injury prone, he's always, you know, out injured. Mm. That being said, Reed was as well. It's a very physically demanding position, and we need him going forward. It's really disappointing, especially to lose him to the Bulldogs. I don't know where his head's at. I'm not going to criticise any player for taking a pay rise. You know, I mean, they've got to look after that. They get a 10-year career at tops, and, you know, they get injuries and everything. You don't know how long their career's going. They're going to make all their money now. And, you know, but I don't know if the Bulldogs are going to do that for him. The Bulldogs are building a pretty decent team, but so are we. You know, like him with our players, like, that's what got him the contract. The Bulldogs let him go. They didn't want him. They told him he was never going to play first grade. They said he was too small. You know, we were the ones that took him on board and built him into the player, gave him the opportunities. You know, he built himself into the player. I take all of it. I'm not going to take all of his credit for it. But very disappointing that we couldn't hang on to him. I mean, you got to... Everyone talks about the spine. Everyone talks about the spine. You got to have a good number nine. And we have one with Reed. And I think it's going to leave a big hole in the team moving forward. I mean, we do have Mitch Rain, but he's coming to the end of his career. So he's more of a backup. And we've got Hodgson coming as well. And he's the same. He's coming to the end of his career as well. We've got him coming next year. And Reed's young. And he's... I just can't get the mentality of letting him go. Just pay him what he wants. I honestly believe that. I honestly believe... And, you know, BA did say, well, we'll... You know, we've got hookers coming through. We'll build another one. But we've got one. You know, there he is. He's good to go. He is the second string origin hooker. I mean, and he could easily be the first string after a couple of years. You know, you don't know. You don't. Harry's still very untested as well, I feel. So, don't know. Scratching my head with that one. Don't know why we'd let him go.
Particularly, he was 16th on the most tackle list for all teams with 763 tackles.
Yeah.
So, not only does he have the talent, but he's out there putting in the effort. He's putting in the yards.
Yeah.
And he got the call up from Origin, which was really... I can understand him being quite frustrated with that because he got the call up and then the next day they went, oh, no, you're all good.
Yeah.
So he didn't even get a tracksuit. He didn't even get a bag. Didn't get nothing.
Yeah.
Like a lanyard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then he goes off and gets injured the weekend after. I mean, if they just hung on to him, he would never have got injured. So theoretically, you know, if you look at that, I mean, if we had had him against Penrith, we would have won that, would have won the grand final. So it's Queensland's fault that Parramatta didn't win the grand final in 2021. Another reason to hate Queensland, mate.
Well, I am from New South Wales. I am from Seven Hills.
Yes.
I love New South Wales, but I live in Queensland. Queensland is a great state.
I'm sure it is.
Very happy to hate on the Origin team, that's for sure. Yeah. I was at game two and I was so obnoxious. I was so drunk and obnoxious in my Blues jumper. When I sat down, this guy just started to pick a fight with me already. And I was like, come on.
I don't know why. Whenever you go to the football, it's like you're that guy that people seem to try and eye up. It's kind of it's like, oh, well, Barry's in another Blue. Let's go. You just sit there minding your own business and people want to go here for some reason.
I like to think I don't go looking for trouble, but it just so happens when it comes, I'm like, come on!
That's what scares them off. That's what scares them off and nothing ever happens.
I was super obnoxious, man. I was standing up going, Fortress Suncorp! And I was just so...
Yeah, that's pretty bad. They wouldn't have liked that. But I got to say, I have... like when Reed was running around the field after the game, I shook his hand, pat him on the back, and... You look at him and you're like, he's a baby. You know, he's got the baby little cheeks. He's, you know, and even just patting him on the chest, I was just like, you know, he's not as solid as some of the other players. He's going to fill out. He's going to get that man strength. And he, scratching my head, man. Why we would let him go, no idea.
But is it perhaps because the deal that was done with him happened in a Chinese restaurant? So maybe the Bulldogs, maybe they know what you're saying and they're like, we've got to fatten this guy up. So we'll sign him and we'll just fill him full of those prawn chips and put a few kgs on while he's here.
I was convinced that he was just kind of like, oh, you let me go. Okay, you're going to take me out for a free feed. And now I'm just going to go back and laugh with the boys and go, yeah, I made the Bulldogs buy me dinner last night. They said I was never going to play first grade and now they're buying me dinner. I was convinced that that's what he was doing. And I don't know. It's really, really unfortunate. So anyway, let's see what happens.
I like your theory there. I hope that was actually his genuine intention. And the second that they hit him with the figure, he suddenly went, thank God I didn't tell anybody about this.
He did one of those, they licked him up and then they went, here, sign on the dotted line. He went, what the hell happened last night? You know, he woke up in a Bulldogs jersey, you know, and tracksuit pants. Maybe they gave him the tracksuits. So,
maybe. All right, one of the more unpronounceable names in our team, Maka Maka.
Maka Maka, let's just go with Maka Maka. More Maka Makatoa. Mm-hmm. What a find. He's a bit older, like I think he's 29 this year. And big heart, solid player. And And Maka Maka, he's a very, you know, he's marketable. You know, it goes a long way in the game.
Yeah, you can market
a player. They're on Maka Maka, and he's got his bleached hair. I love having him in the team. Love it. What a strong player. He's one of those guys, if we're behind, you can see him really digging in, not panicking, not getting crazy. And you throw him the ball, and he'll do the hard yards. An engine. Yeah. I love Maka Maka.
You know what it is? It's the boys on the pierce and they're hungry and someone says, I'm going to do a Macca's run. You give them the ball at the end of the game.
It's the double
and you get him to do the Macca's run, mate. That's what, like, why aren't the sponsors onto this? Why aren't McDonald's sponsoring this guy?
If he has a big year, let's see how long before he's got the double Macca, the double golden arches across the chest. Macca Macca. I don't know. Love him.
Well, is he not the heir apparent to Fui Fui? So we've got Maka Maka. Is he not the next?
No, he's not. He's not Fui's level. Fui was a wrecking ball. Yeah, I one of my all-time favorite Fui stories was when he got accused of biting. I can't remember what year it was.
Yep.
And the newspapers that called him Chewy Chewy Moi Moi.
Moi Moi.
Chewy Chewy. I just went, that's fantastic. Sometimes you got to pay it, you know. Yeah, so no, he's not at that level. Fui's still going. Fui's still playing.
Can I just add, I also do a podcast called The Dummy M with my mate T-Dog, which is an NRL podcast. And we had Casey Maguire, who was an Eel and also a Brisbane Broncos player, and the Catlin Dragons as well in France. And he said two things about Fui. He said, one, that he was like a real jokester. He might come across as shy in the media, but he was always like a prankster and he was always making these jokes. He was a very, very funny individual.
Yeah.
But he also said they could never figure out his real age.
He's one of those, is he? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
He was, he's like got the Darth Vader birth. It's just the Mandalorians. It's not the Mandalorians. What do they call
Midichlorians. Get your nerd references right. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Come at me with that weak Star Wars knowledge.
You've got Mandalorian blood. Sorry about that. That's bad.
Ryan Madison.
I'm concerned a few things about Ryan, mainly that he keeps getting knocked out and it doesn't come back with headgear. I would enforce headgear. I don't know if you're allowed to do that or not, but I would make him wear headgear. He, like in boxing terminology, his chin's been cracked. Like it doesn't seem to take that much to knock him out cold. I mean, but he, even when he was playing at West, he was on the bench for a long time saying, I can't play. I've got headaches. He couldn't come out at nighttime and stuff. He had the bright lights and all that kind of stuff. Like he's got some serious concussion issues. Strong as an ox, but we're paying a lot for him. And I have some serious concerns about his health. I don't know if he's going to see the season out, to be honest with you. He's got early retirement written all over him, unfortunately. Fantastic player.
Yeah.
Love him. Strong. But from a business side of things, we're paying a lot for him. I think he's going to be a little bit hesitant charging into some of the lineups. I don't know. I would enforce headgear. Reed started to knock himself out every second game as well. And he came back and next thing you know, he's won the headgear ever since. And he still got knocked out with the headgear on. So I don't know. Ryan, don't know.
Mitchell Moses.
Now, I saw pictures of Mitchie Boy yesterday at training and he looks quite slim. He seems to have lost a bit of the muscle mass. Now, what happened with him was he copped a whole heap of shit about his defense. Everyone said defensively weak. And I think he went and bulked up to try and prove a point that he can tackle.
Mm.
And he can tackle. And he's very strong defensively. Say what you want. For his size to be tackling, you know, big units, because they do run at them. I mean, it's a legit strategy for forwards to run at another team's halfback to tire him out. And he cops it a fair bit. And he cops, you know, the late shots and everything. Strong as an ox. But he looks really streamlined as of yesterday. So I'm curious to know if they're going to try and put more speed into him. He's still very fast. Maybe they've told him to not worry because of his back issues. Maybe they've said, look, we don't want you diving in at these big guys. We want you to play smart. We need him to win the grand final. We need Mitch in the team. Dillbag's not going to get it done by himself. So maybe that's the strategy, just to keep him fit and keep him fast. The other boys get some big units either side of him.
Well, he was third in top kick meters last year. He got the most points for us, 132, and he tied in top try assists with Gutho with 18. Mm. So he's everywhere and he's always working. His origin performance got sort of mixed reviews, perhaps slightly unfair. Obviously, he broke his back during that that stint. So, and it's also hard to be compared to Nathan Cleary as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm hoping for a big year for Mitch.
I am. I mean, my only concern with him, I think he's got all the talent. He's attacking across the board, defensively strong. My only concern with him is actually kicking to win the game for us. Against the Panthers, he had the opportunity to convert so that we would win that game on the siren. Generally, you want your number seven to be able to win a game for you. And he has that ability, but he seems to panic a bit, I think. I don't know. In all honesty, I've never played halfback. I was always playing in the forwards, and so growing up, that's where all my knowledge was, just around the, you know, run straight and be a chucklehead. The halfbacks seem to have, you know, it's more of an intricate game, and there's a lot of subtleties, and you can see that Freddie Fittler loves him. He's like, you know, he talks him up as being the great, you know, because he was coaching the Lebanon team. He was in Origin. I thought he had a fantastic Origin game. I thought it was brilliant. Second half, he did his back in and wasn't as good. I mean, he still set up tries. He set up a try for us, and we need him to fire for us to win. And I think he will. He puts in a lot of hours kicking and practicing. So yeah, green ticks all the way. Mitchell Moses for the win, and I think he's going to get us home.
If you're keen on starting your own podcast, then Buzzsprout is the platform for you. Podcasting allows you to engage in a topic that you are passionate about and find like-minded people who share your interests. We switched over to Buzzsprout from one of their competitors, and it was the best decision we made. The analytics they provide are insightful, the platform gets your show out instantaneously, and they have an amazing library of tutorials which help make your show the best it can be. Buzzsprout is hands down the easiest and best way to launch, promote, and track your podcast. Your show can be online and listed in all the major podcast directories like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, and more. So check out Buzzsprout today in our show links. Join over 100,000 podcasters already using Buzzsprout to get their message out to the world. Following the link in our show notes lets Buzzsprout know we sent you, and if you sign up for a paid plan, you get a $20 Amazon gift card. Buzzsprout, check it out. Solomon Naduki.
So I had to do a bit of research. I didn't know too much about him.
I'm going to go with, if his name's Solomon, I'm going to say that he's quite big. He's quite strong. Am I right there or not?
Now, he has been compared to Sivo, so I'm going to go with yes.
Yeah. I think the name says it all.
Solomon. You can't be 5'2" if you're called Solomon, can you? I mean, it's just, he's got everything. Once again, marketing package. So he is another flying Fijian. I like that we've signed him to a one-year deal. So it's basically you're in the top 30. He's a winger. So he is quite literally a Sivo 2.0, or should we say a semi 3.0, big flying Fijian on the wing. I like that he's going to be there pushing Sivo. I think Sivo needs to be pushed. And he's obviously not going to be returning until halfway through the year. There were talks that he was going to get the starting spot on the wing until we signed Bailey. So he'll be looking to prove himself. Big unit, big strong runner. I haven't seen him play, so I'm curious to know. I've seen his highlights for New South Wales Cup, and there wasn't that much there. It was just him finishing off, you know, tries that other people had set up, to be fair. But curious. I'm curious to know what he's got. From what I've read, he is an extremely powerful winger. So we like those. We like having the fast, powerful wingers. So see how we go.
Mm. Especially if they stay on the wing and they stop tries being scored down their side. Those are the type of wingers we want.
Yeah, and they're not the type of wingers that we buy for some reason, is it? Like, we seem to like we like the floating wingers.
I said it before, Fergo and Sivo, man, the way they used to communicate together was amazing, except for the fact that they shouldn't have been anywhere near each other to have those conversations. They should have been on opposite sides of the field.
They should have needed mobile telephones if they wanted to talk to each other, but unfortunately they were charging lines together. Fergo with anyone. I don't think Fergo should have been with with anyone. He should have just been, just stay on your wing and just do your flips and score tries. And love the Fergusaurus. But I don't know. I can't give you too much on Solomon, but I am looking forward to seeing him play.
Marata Niokore.
Very sad once again. Very sad that he's going to be leaving us at the end of the year. Powerful, powerful player. Like, and I don't think he knows that how good he played at centre. Like, all the games he played for us at centre last year, defensively, he just was crushing people. He was just stopping all of those offensive raids down that side, no matter who was next to him. And he was powerful, and he was setting up tries. I'm not happy we let him go. It's. I know you can't keep everyone, and people will always say that. And you can't. You can't keep them all. But he's one I wanted to keep. So I'm not happy he's going.
Provided that we take out the premiership this year, then that's okay. But obviously, if we don't take out the premiership this year and we lose all these players, that's a different story.
It is our year. It is. I think a lot of people feel that way across a lot of the Parramatta pages. You can kind of sense that everyone's saying that this is the team. The team that we've got this year, it's a premiership winning team. I mean, there's no reason we shouldn't be top four. And if we're top four, we've got a chance of winning. I think we easily have one of the top four teams on paper. And starting next year without all of these players, it's going to be a huge loss. I mean, we do have some of the youngsters coming through, but Murata, I don't know why you'd let him go. Like, I don't know how much. I'd love to know how much money these guys are getting offered over the top of what we're offering them. Or is it because they're getting offered more years? A lot of them, like I read that was why Reed signed, because we were only offering him 2 years, I think, or was it three? And he wanted four, something like that. He wanted an extra year than what we were offering him. Now, it kind of makes sense because he has had some bad injuries. So you don't necessarily want to sign an injury-prone guy into a four-year deal. But Murata is not injury-prone. He is an absolute orc. He's just absolutely powerful and just non-stop aggression. He's got an engine. I mean, he can play for 80 minutes. You can stick him in the center. You can stick him in the backs. You stick him in the forwards. Why would you let someone that versatile go? I mean, I'd love to know. I'd love to actually... Hey, BA. I know where BA lives, actually, and I was so tempted to just knock on the door and just...
Why are you doing this?
I know, actually, his jogging route through Kellyville and Rouse Hill, and because a mate of mine lives there, and he sees him running past every afternoon, and I'm just so tempted to just go, why would you let Reed go? Why would you let Murata go? Why would you let the Iceman go? Like, I can understand the Iceman. He's out of all of them, he's the one that I've kind of like gone, I can understand that, because he only played one good year and we didn't invest that much into him. We stole him from another team. Now he's gone to another team. Fair play. But we've put a lot of years into Murata and building him up and making him a super power. And he's just about to crack. You can see that he's just about to strike it rich. And we've let him go. And it's really unfortunate. So it's going to be an interesting year, because as we go through and these guys start to shine, and I'm sure they will, and we start getting the wins, you know, up, and... hopefully 2022 year of the eel, I mean, I'm looking forward to trying to defend the premiership in 23, and I've got concern. I'm more concerned about defending the premiership than I am about winning the premiership. Oh, you're shaking your head there, I can see you, but
in the name of Kenny Price and Sterlo, let's not jinx it. However, my friend, we will leave that there. And so on the next episode, we will start with Tom Opacic and work our way through to the three players in development. We should be able to wrap it all up on the next episode. As always, mate, a great pleasure talking to you. You can catch me on the Dummy M podcast on all major podcasting platforms as well. And mate, we will talk Eels next week.
We will. And make sure that you sign on to the Parramatta's Facebook group as well. So jump on there and join the conversation. So if you're listening to us through Spotify or wherever you're listening to us, make sure you get on the Facebook group, Parramatta's, and you can join in the conversation. And Since we're just starting out, now's a good time to join in the conversation because we're definitely going to read it. So jump in and have your say.
Click goes the eels, mate.
Click go the eels.
The Parramatta's Podcast, available on all major podcasting platforms.